Connecticut Senate and House Republicans unveiled legislative proposals aimed at preventing fraud in our state. We actually spoke to Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding about efforts to strengthen oversight and accountability and whether there is a culture of corruption in our current state government.
I mean, it's really basic, logical common sense because, you know, we're dealing with taxpayer money. This is not private money. And so really all our proposals do is put a system in which if you're going to receive, if a third-party entity, nonprofit, any organization that's a third party to the state, is receiving public dollars in the state budgets, that it has to be vetted by the Appropriations Committee in Hartford. The organization has to come before that committee, explain specifically what they're going to use the money on, disclose to the committee if there's any existing relationships, particularly family relationships, that anyone in the organization has with a legislator in the building, disclose that up front. And then ultimately, then at that point, within the confines of the state budget, money can be allocated to them. It also creates a system of integrity on the back end in which if an organization receives this money, that there are random audits. There's an inspector general that we're going to institute as part of this plan so that their office can specifically examine any accusations of waste or fraud or corruption. And so it's just basic common sense measures to put really more of a highlight and more transparency and light surrounding money that is being used, being given to us by the taxpayers.
How long has our process, I guess, been failing in Connecticut, would you say?
Many, many years now. I mean, there's really never been much transparency surrounding our budget process. And I think that that's what makes Connecticut unique in that the federal government, believe it or not, the federal government actually has more oversight and transparency and regulation surrounding earmarks going to third party organizations than the state of Connecticut does. So the federal government, with its massive budget, has far more oversight and transparency surrounding entities that receive money from the feds in its budgeting process than the state of Connecticut currently does. So the system, I think, has been failing, unfortunately, the people of this state in regards to transparency for frankly a generation now. And the problem is it's only gotten worse, and it's finally coming to light, some of these organizations that are receiving money, and it turns out some of them are completely fraudulent. They're stealing the money in some cases. Some of them are being steered by well-connected legislators in the building that are giving money to organizations in which their wives, their spouses, their children, their brothers and sisters are connected to, and steering the money to them. It's a corrupt process, and it's corrupt because there's no transparency surrounding it. There's no accountability. And this is what you get when you get this one party rule. There's a level of arrogance and there's a level of lack of accountability to the public. And this is what you're seeing here.
And of course, you're kind of referring to probably the most recent example of this, which was earlier this year, a report that was done by an independent firm showing that State Senator Doug McCrory, who has denied all these allegations, got a lot of money, millions of dollars in state funding for a nonprofit in his district called the Blue Hills Civic Association. Again, he denies all of that, but it was proven, and even Governor Lamont said that, you know, that this was totally unacceptable. The reason I was asking how long has this been a problem was because this certainly dates well before the Lamont administration. This is an issue that's been in place for a long time. I don't know, do other states have better systems for earmarking? Do you know? Like, so a great example of the federal government, I think that gives, you know, if we have it at the federal level, why wouldn't we at the state level? But do we know if other states are doing a better job of this? I don't know how we track that, but I just wasn't sure if you had that insight.
Yeah, I can't give specific states, but I mean, in terms of the research we've done here, it seems like most other states have a similar system to what the federal government has related to earmark budgeting and third-party organizations receiving those funds. So, most other states have far more transparency surrounding this process. And I can't speak, obviously, to how they budget in other states in terms of even, you know, outside of the transparency aspect. But I mean, particularly in my career as a legislator, it really is in the dark of night. I mean, these budgets get passed in a matter of, you know, 24 hours. And these are nowadays, you know, nearly $60 billion budgets for the state, biannual budgets. And it's been well known that, under this Democratic rule, this one party rule, what is occurring is essentially in order to get legislators to vote for these budgets, there's money allocated to organizations they're connected to. And what we're seeing in the case of Senator McCrory is he was directly steering it to organizations that his girlfriend or wife was connected to. And some of these organizations she was connected to were completely fraudulent. It was going right in her pocket. And we can't you know, be ignorant of the fact to think that this is not going on in other places. I mean, another great example is we have $22 million of bonding money that went to the Department of Housing Commissioner. She used $22 million to transfer an apartment building from one entity to another entity that she just so happened to work for and didn't add one additional housing unit in that deal. Why on earth are we spending $22 million of taxpayer money to transfer entities of buildings and not add one additional housing unit to the state? I mean, so these are the type of things that when you don't have any accountability and you have this one-party arrogance where they're not accountable to anyone, these are the type of things that go on. And you're seeing what's now happening in Minnesota, in Maine, in Massachusetts. And I fear the state of Connecticut might have a very similar problem on our hands by our track record. We have now FBIs and grand juries investigating these organizations that are getting money in our budgeting. It would be a dereliction of our duty not to put more into this than we are.
During this same press conference, state lawmakers from the Republican Party also called out what they say is a culture of corruption in state government. And they don't just throw that term out very loosely. There are actually some very concrete examples of this in just the past few years. Let's take Wanda Jeter-Pataki, caught on camera stuffing ballot boxes during the Bridgeport primary mayoral election in 2023. Former CSCU Chancellor Terrence Chang misusing funding a couple of years ago and not even being fired from that job, just moved to a somewhat made-up position that still pays him six figures and still in the CSCU system. How about Casa Diamantes? Last year found guilty, 21 counts of extortion, bribery, conspiracy, and false statement offenses related to his conduct when he was the director of Connecticut's Office of School Construction's Grants and Review. So the state Republicans are kind of pointing that out, ironically, during an election year where those things did happen all under a Lamont leadership. But so often when these concrete examples come out, the other side may focus on what's happening in Washington, D.C., and specifically our president. Senator Harding is with us. Senator, do you think that's a way to just distract from what really needs to be addressed in our state?
And that's the point, is that, you know, these are things that we as Connecticut government officials are responsible for. And so if you want to tackle this problem with us in a bipartisan fashion and say, yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, let's work on this. Yeah, this is a good idea. Or let's tweak it this way to make it better. What have you? And admit that there's problems right here at home that is our responsibility. Then fine. If you want to talk about Washington, D.C., go ahead. But the problem is that is their answer to the problems that we have here when it has nothing to do with anything that's going on within our state government. Donald Trump and Washington, D.C. has nothing to do with Wanda Pataki Jeter stuffing ballot boxes and us having no regulations or legislation to react to that to protect the voters and the integrity of the vote here in Connecticut. It's got nothing to do with chancellors stealing taxpayer money to go to lavish hotels and dinners and buy alcohol. It doesn't account for the fact that we have Democratic legislators steering taxpayer money to organizations in which their wife sits on the board and receives money from directly, and in some cases, you know, takes that money fraudulently and puts it right in their pocket. These are all problems that are right in front of our face, and the answer to the problem isn't Washington, D.C. The answer to the problem is solutions, and unfortunately, the Democratic Party, all they want to talk about in this state is everything other than what is going on right here. I think it speaks to the fact that, you know, unfortunately, this party has had one party rule in pretty much every level of state government for decades now. And we're not in a good place in Connecticut. We're third highest and most, you know, unaffordable states to live in. We have issues here with taxpayer funds, very obviously right in front of our face, and corruption. And when you're running the state in every lever of it for decades, it's your fault. It's your problem. It's your mess to clean up. And it's not politically expedient to admit that there's a problem here. And so instead, they go down to Washington, D.C., in the hope that people will focus on that as opposed to what's going on right here at home. That speaks more, speaks volumes, frankly, in terms of, you know, what they have to say about what's going on right here.
Well, I think WICC listeners are very in tune. I have to be honest. I'm a little biased because I love my listeners, but I think that they're really into it because I got to be honest, Senator Harding, I get sent FOI request reports constantly, audit reports constantly. Did you look into this? Did you look into that? They see what's going on. And I think we've talked to certainly our state auditors. I've talked to people who are, who handle those FOI requests, certainly investigative reports, reporters, I should say. We're seeing more and more FOI requests done at the state level, investigative reporting at the local level. And so I think that's a huge reason why there's such a focus on scandal, which is a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a really good thing. Part of the proposals that were introduced included measures to kind of beef up the state's independent auditor's office, right? I mean, what other things were you looking at for the kind of more transparency in this and kind of holding people accountable to avoid scandal in future?
Well, one of the things is like the Department of Housing, for example, and the example I just gave you with, the commissioner spending $22 million simply to transfer a building from one entity to another and not add any additional housing units. That's done in one big conglomerate grant that's approved by the Bonding Commission to the Department of Housing. So some of the other things that we want is we want to piece this together. It's taxpayer money, taxpayers deserve answers. So that commissioner should have to go before the Bonding Commission on every single project they're going to be investing money on, as opposed to being granted this one big pot, tens of millions of dollars of state bonding money, taxpayer bonding money, and just use it on any projects they see fit. They should have to go individually. So things like that, it's breaking this down more of in a granular level, so that the taxpayers and the lawmakers have more answers on to the penny what the money is being spent on.
Well, Senator Harding, I really appreciate you breaking this down. I know we're going to have more conversations throughout the session, certainly, and would love to see what comes out of this most recent unveiled proposals from state Republicans. And like I said to you at home, well, we've also reached out to the Democratic Party. They're usually very good at getting back to us. So hopefully we can have them on as early as maybe Monday. We'll keep you posted on that. But Senator Harding, thank you so much for what you do and for giving us the time. We appreciate it.
Melissa, and thank you for what you do and always seeking the truth, and to your listeners as well. You guys are really great. So thank you.
Thanks, Senator Harding. We appreciate that.